the Daily Talk Show, episode 540.
Wow, good, solid number to have Pete Shepherd back in the building. Ninth appearance, Mr. 97. How many minutes has...
Oh, I haven't done it yet.
Okay, sorry.
You just answered him early.
Cheers. Cheers. I've got a Ben Fordham, what is this called?
Stubby holder.
Stubby holder. Yeah. Thank you. Harry's still in the building. Final day for you, Harry. Mm. How are you feeling?
All right.
Oh, that's good.
How I'm you tired. Feel? I'm very tired.
We've been working you hard.
Yeah, they've been working me hard.
How's your week been, Pete?
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty solid. Just coming to grips with the fact that it's December.
Oh, fuck.
It's outrageous.
I mean, but you could be thrown with the weather. Like, it's still winter.
Mm. Yeah, this is true.
How's the coaching business going?
Going well, yeah.
What's something that's been coming up with clients this week?
This week?
I mean, that's
Are you trying to coach him? Is this what's going on?
No, I'm just curious to know what people's challenges are that they're facing. Like, I wonder if there's a reoccurring theme. Mm. Do you see that?
Not necessarily. I haven't really thought about it, though, to be honest. I wonder if – I was talking with a colleague, actually, or a friend at the office that I work at who's also a coach.
Friend can be
friend
a colleague?
Or colleague. Friend. Well, more colleague or more friend?
Well, not really colleague because we don't work together. We just happen to be in the same office. Mm-hmm. So, friend. And she's a coach as well. And she was saying that she feels like a lot of people are losing their marbles because it's approaching the end of the year and new decade and all that stuff. I was like, oh, I haven't really noticed that as much. But I think, I don't know how you guys feeling about the new decade. Is that
it,
a thing?
Is it just your coaching quality? Your clients?
Everyone's under control.
We can all say, come December, if you usually shit your pants. Well, Pete's coaching will keep the shit inside.
I feel like the decade thing is... I never even considered it up until like a week.
Right. So someone said this to me the other day, new decade, what are you going to do? I was like, what do you mean? 2020. I was like, oh, do we be thinking about that?
Do we do anything for 2010 though? When we were entering 2010, we weren't like new decade.
I don't think so.
I mean, 2 years later was a great year, 2012. But 2000, the year 2000, do you remember what you were doing?
I don't remember myself specifically what I was doing, but I remember the narrative around like Y2K and the computers were going to essentially take over.
Planes were going to fall out of the sky.
People weren't flying because they were worried they'd drop from the sky.
Fair. I guess like because it was all had to do with it seemed so practical in regards to – so basically computers help the planes fly.
Yeah. Mm.
The clocks of the computers haven't – or the dates haven't allowed for this. And so once it ticks over, all those computers are going to be fucked and all the planes are going to go down.
Oh, and if you hear that narrative over and over and over again, you probably would be like, well, I mean, I could fly on New Year's Eve or I could just fly the day after when it might be safer.
Well, 2012 also was a year where the Mayan calendar had dated that something was going to happen. Nothing happened. Turned out to be a fucking great year. So Mayans got it absolutely wrong and we all got the Y2K bug thing wrong.
Yeah.
When was the last time you guys used a physical planner / diary?
Oh, I have. I use a notebook every day.
Has it got dates on it or no?
No, I write the date at the top manually. Okay. Mm.
Too limiting. I remember I used it for clients when I was a PT, but it was specific to that one page time slots.
Yeah, and then if you miss a week, you kind of get flat because you've got a blank week. You just got to skip it.
You describe. Yeah, but that's what it's about, isn't it? Because remember back in school days, we used to have, did you all have planners?
Well, yeah, like a school diary.
Yeah.
And we used to cut the corner.
Yeah.
So you could turn straight to it.
Yeah, it's genius.
So you cut it every week, you cut that, and then you could just like turn straight to that
That's
page.
Right.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah.
Works well. But it makes sense for doctors and stuff who want to just be in a room in their practice.
Yeah.
Where they can just.
Taking notes.
But I mean, you can do it on the computer. The thing is that you've got to lean into the digital space. Is there anything that you're doing, Pete, within your business that people are still doing by hand?
I think, I mean, not by hand per se, but I think the fact that 95% of my work is remote is still very foreign to people.
Yeah.
That everything is on Zoom and Slack and email. And a lot of people still find that concept hard to grasp of like, oh, but if I was working with someone or if I was a coach, I would sit down across the room from them. And I do that far more rarely than I do hop on Zoom and have a chat with someone. I think that concept is still foreign to people.
You went to like a conference the other day where it was like all virtual.
Yeah, digital conference.
Can you still say you went to a conference?
Do you read a book if it's audible?
Definitely not.
Oh.
Absolutely not. You haven't read the book.
Can you count it as listening? You still listen to
it. It's listening, but it's not read. Yeah. People say read.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
You've got to say listen,
phone
which
sex
is
isn't
fine.
Sex.
Definitely not.
We've gone from conferences to phone sex.
But you see the connection.
An orifice has been penetrated, but it's just not the orifice that you would think. Off-brand for Pete right now. That's that laugh. So that's
bring it back to the conference.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you go to a conference?
Yeah. Well, it was a virtual conference, or maybe it was called a virtual festival or conference, but it was essentially an experiment of, can you replicate what you can get in a conference, which is a bunch of different stages, a bunch of different speakers, a bunch of different people attending, and different like rooms or stages were available, which were essentially different virtual Zoom rooms. And so I facilitated one of the sessions and it was awesome. It worked. Mm. It worked really well. We had 120 people show up, everyone from the comfort of their living room or their office. And then like in between, they would do little kind of networking things where you do essentially speed dating. You get thrown into a room with like one other person and you spend 5 minutes chatting to them, and you get thrown into another room and you spend 5 minutes chatting to them, and you get 5 minutes. And so it was really cool.
What's the feeling? What's the difference in the feeling? So you could go to a full day conference where you're sitting there, your bum's a bit sore. So you get all these other stimulus.
Yeah.
So do you come out just cognitively like, whoa, my head, wired. And I'm actually just pretty still.
Yeah.
I was comfy because I was at home.
Yeah. I find you come out really wired.
Yeah.
Like this was me half an hour ago when you sent me a message, and I was like so wired because I just come out of intense conversations with people, even on Zoom. I find it, for some reason, it like wires you even more.
And what's your comfy space? Like, what do you do?
I like to stand. Yeah. Like I find standing, I maintain energy as opposed to like slouching and getting tired. Mm. I find if I stand, it helps just like keep me alert.
Do you think that we could do the podcast standing up?
I think we should. Yeah.
Oh, we can't now. But we have. We did it heaps in LA.
You're like a standing
guest. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
There's definitely a stamina. Like it gets to a certain point and I start getting fidgety.
Yeah, me too.
So I start sort of just swaying both sides. I change mic hand. Like you can see it at like the 30-minute mark or something.
I think if it affects me less potentially. I just lock it in.
Yeah.
And just sort of don't move.
I just engage. I'm a fidgeter.
No, I am too. I'm sort of known among a few friends and groups that I work with online for being the guy that's always like shuffling.
Swaying.
And swaying.
Just motion sickness.
Moving from foot to foot to foot to foot. But everyone else is so motionless. I find that like disorientating. I need to be like moving around.
So how do we do it? If we wanted to implement like a digital conference, what did you learn from it? What tools are you using? How do you, like, what's the actual bits that you would take from it if you were to do it yourself?
So obviously, well, Zoom was the teleconference, I guess, software that we used, which worked really well. The main thing is you need a way to communicate with everyone at like in real time. So you need to be able to say to people, this thing is happening now, click at this link over here. This thing's happening now, click this link over there. So there's like a central communication platform.
In Zoom or Slack?
This was separate. So this is on a platform called Discourse. You could use Slack if you had everyone in Slack. And so it would be like an announcement. And so there's URLs essentially. And you click the URL and that sends you to the right Zoom room.
Right.
Yeah.
And so
it's really cool.
Was it sort of hacking it together, or did it feel like these systems were all designed?
No, it felt really well designed, which I think the idea was it probably will feel really hacky and weird, but it actually felt really good and natural. And it was kind of like, if you think about the tension of getting thousands of people around the world to come to one conference and the cost and the flights and everything, this was like people all around the world and sitting in the comfort of, or standing in the comfort of their own space. It's pretty cool.
I mean, what do you think about being in one-on-one, so, or being in the room, so you're experiencing all of that sort of stimulus?
Yeah, it's unique. It's definitely unique because you kind of look around and you're like, oh no, I'm on my own. But then we had 120 people. Jen and I did a workshop. We had 120 people staring at us. Like,
and so it's like individual boxes, like a Brady Bunch.
It's like the Brady Bunch. Everyone has their own square. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. Everyone takes up the same amount of space. And so you can't tell how big or small or short or tall people are. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just the same. And they're just kind of these smiling faces that you can kind of scroll through.
Mm.
It's pretty cool.
And can you unmute them?
Yeah. So the general rule is everyone's on mute except for the person talking.
Do they have to do that, or can you mute all?
There's a bit of both. So they can come off mute and on mute. But in this conference that we had like admin settings to mute everybody. So there wasn't like awkward coughing in the background, or because that happens a lot.
What throws you off when you're doing a talk?
Usually, like if it's remote or Zoom, it's usually when someone's off mute and you can hear a conversation or a cough or a sneeze or like someone typing an email. You're like, that's like, just mute that, please.
My favorite was that we had a meeting with a client the other day, and every time they went to get an M&M, it would cut to them.
Instant cutting?
I think it must have been the visual or whatever. And so someone would be talking about, so I'm thinking about this thing, blah, blah, blah. And then you just see the going in.
It was great fun.
That is good.
So 2020, What's on the cards?
I don't know. Like I haven't sat down really and thought about new decade, new me or anything like that, but I'd like to keep doing a version of what I'm doing now is essentially how I've been thinking about it.
Idea of the conference thing, yeah. I just had this moment when you were talking about all the rooms and all that sort of thing. Mm. I know we're still paying off LA and we can't, like, let's not talk about other shit. However, there was a way that South by Southwest could happen, I feel like you'd be great to go with.
Yeah.
It'd be good fun.
I'm up for it. Is that what we're doing?
Oh, a physical trip to like South by Southwest.
I'd love to.
What do you think, 97?
Yeah, that sounds exciting.
Okay. What date is it?
It's April, so.
The exact dates?
I'm thinking I might be back in New York in April, so it could work out. Just popped in.
Jules Lund will be speaking.
Meet you guys
there. March 13th to 22nd.
Yeah, pretty soon.
Probably irresponsible.
Is there a listener out there ready to sponsor us to get over there?
I mean, yeah, but South by Southwest is this super interesting festival because it's like all the hotels, all the venues are taken over.
Yeah.
And so-
Have you been?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's not like- I just assumed maybe that it was all in this one sort of conference hall, like a Vegas style thing where you sort of go and you get a map. But it's like really, oh, I want to go see this thing. It's on the other part of the city. And so you might walk 15 minutes to get to the next one. It's like the whole, it's almost like going to like Melbourne Comedy Festival or even like Music Week where it's not one specific venue. Yeah. Every single venue is doing it.
That's cool.
The pub crawl.
Mm-hmm. And Austin's a cool city too.
Oh, I'm it's so cool.
Yeah.
Have you been to many big conferences or expos?
No, I mean, TED is the main one, TEDx, TEDx Melbourne. Mm-hmm.
That's the one you spoke at, right?
Melbourne Uni.
Yeah. I spoke at Melbourne Uni.
Is that
TEDx Melbourne's a bit bigger.
Is that online, the TED talk that you did?
Not yet. No, they've got to submit it and then it gets approved and all that jazz. Yeah,
With your dancing. Process. Fuck. That's making it in. That's not hitting the cusp.
I thought that was in my head. I didn't think I actually did
it. No, you did it, dude. I saw a big man sway back and forth. Put a bit of jazz behind it.
That's great.
Looked awesome.
Yeah.
The talking thing, going from the TED thing to looking at 2020, you were saying how you spoke to Seth about it. He said, just do more.
Yeah.
What is, if Seth is telling you do more, what does that look like for you?
So the backstory to that is I told Seth, we were talking about when I was in New York speaking at TEDx.
Seth Godin.
And he's making us lunch and without even.
Can you just paint the picture? What's he making?
He was making like a sweet potato noodle kind of, because he's vegetarian, sort of vegetarian dish. It was delicious.
He's saying game changes.
No, it was pre-game
changes?
Before it was cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, so without looking up, he's like, you should do five more. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, the thing about TEDx is no one speaks to other TEDx organizers. Everyone wants to have the TEDx event where their talk went viral. Mm-hmm. And the better, each time you do a TEDx talk, you'll be better. So you should do five because the fifth one will probably be more likely to be the one that gets popular than the first one.
Love it.
And I was like, That's a fair point. So I now need to find four.
So do you do all the same or are they all different?
Well, that's why I asked him and he was like, it doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is to just do five talks.
Oh, great.
Yeah, but Seth, should I do a different talk?
Exactly. Seth. He's like, no, just do it.
But I guess that comedians tour a special for a year or like a stand-up thing for a year.
Yeah.
It's one thing you find when you start to follow certain thought leaders or speakers or whatever is they say a lot of the same thing over and over and over again. Just in different parts of the world to different audiences.
We'll start with why. Good example.
Right. Like over 10 years. Mm. Yeah.
It's pretty simple concept, but it takes a while for people to get their heads around it.
Yeah.
A friend told me that this company paid an exorbitant amount of money to get Brené Brown to come and do an hour.
Yeah.
She doesn't do many talks. And he said that he saw her and said it was her TED talk.
Yeah.
Which is like so valid. She's there and that's what they're getting her there for.
Well, the Netflix special is the same. It's like if you've read her books, you watch the Netflix special and it's just like her narrating her book. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, I've heard all this with a few funny jokes and she's very, very charismatic. But the content is still all the same as the stuff that's in her books.
Well, repetition is powerful. So it's I can get bogged down and go, oh, people have seen that. But most people haven't.
Yeah.
Most people haven't seen you do your talk.
Exactly. Yeah. Or if they have, they probably benefit from hearing it again because they'll pick up something else.
Why do you think we all feel that? Like what is that? If we're worried, is it that we're getting caught out as, oh, you're a one trick pony? Or
I don't know. I've wondered that myself. It's something Jen and I speak about a lot is we think we need to always come up with some brand new concept, but it's like, maybe you just need to repeat the good concept over and over and over again until people really get it.
It's because you're always in the room when you're doing the talk.
Right.
So it gets really, really old. So if you think about it, it's like, they say like when a marketing manager gets sick of an advertisement, play it 50 more times. Because the thing is, it's like there is so much more opportunity or cut through that happens. I guess that's a similar with like social media. Mr. 97 and I, when we're talking about what we're going to post on Instagram, it's like if the algorithm is getting stronger and stronger in what it's weeding out, then if only one in six times someone's going to see our content, that means that we need to do six posts a day just to guarantee that someone is going to see our thing once.
Also, good quality content can sort of reach many times. So videos can go viral more than once.
Yes.
Yeah. I've posted shit that was a good video. I'm like, let's see if this works again. And it does.
Really? Wow, that's crazy.
Well, it's like the TikTok example.
That's crazy. Yeah. But even Facebook, the same video.
Yeah.
I should just post it again.
Yeah.
I heard. Remember I did the 1,000 steps video? Oh, it was like I counted the 1,000 steps. Miscounted the first time, went back and realized I had and counted it again. Anyway, so I came up with this a number. I heard Fev reel out the number.
Oh, really?
He literally must have watched my video. It was amazing. Unreal. Mr. 97 was looking into it too and he found like Fev. The council even were like, yeah, that's correct, that number.
Really?
Wow.
I was like that's Leon Sjogren doing a one-pager for Fev. That could have something to do with
it. But the point being is if your talk's good, which it is, get it out.
Yeah, smash it. I'm speaking at Craig Harper's conference in February.
Oh, I'm pumped for that.
The U Project conference. And he was asking me the other day what I want to speak about. And I was saying I'll just speak about a similar topic as I did with my TEDx topic because there was, 100 people in the room there. Which is not the same 600 or 700 that are going to be in the room for yours. So I'll change it up a little bit, but it'll essentially be the same message.
Yeah. I love that.
It makes a lot of sense.
Can we get everyone to dance?
I might try. I might get Craig. I think I might try Craig after dance.
I would love to. There's a video that would go viral. And do a bit of a singing bit as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
When we had Michael Bungay Stanier on, who was talking about book publishing and writing a book, I've always been in your ear around, Peter, you're going to write a book. And you've always sort of pushed back on it, hearing him talk and all that sort of thing. Where do you sit on the whole book writing, coaches, thought leadership?
I think if anything, it validated my thought of not writing one at the moment because he was talking about how tedious and arduous and painful it is.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, you should just do some podcasts instead. Yeah. And I was like, cool, that's what I'm doing. So thanks for validating that, Michael. Yeah, I thought,
what is it? It's the legacy media that we feel sometimes, but maybe because we've grown up with it, that it is super powerful. Books have changed people's lives, but so have other things.
But podcasts,
podcasts have changed people's lives. Blog posts have changed people's lives.
Yeah.
And so we get sort of stuck to the medium.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a generational thing, but I just, the thought of it taking so long to get out there is just like, I just want to be able to record something and push it, record something and push it rather than like writing and writing and writing and writing and writing.
What's your information diet been in 2019? What have you been consuming?
Lean.
Information diet.
Fish content.
Lots of fish content, yeah. No, information diet has been, I've sort of dwindled down the podcast that I subscribe to, which has been good. So a lot of Debbie Millman, a lot of Krista Tippett.
Who's Debbie?
Debbie Millman, she does Design Matters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's phenomenal. I really, really like her. Her podcast is great. She's probably one of the best interviewers that I follow, I reckon. Okay. So she's great. Krista Tippett's great. The Daily Talk Show Boys is pretty good.
Thank you, mate.
They're solid. And that's kind of it. I sort of pick and choose the Tim Ferriss podcast based on who the guest is, a bit like Joe Rogan, but I don't subscribe to them as much anymore. And then we're trying to replace a lot of that with audiobooks as well. Reading audiobooks, TJ, or listening to audiobooks. No. Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Well, you're not ready.
Also,
you're listening.
The phone thing, like I've talked a lot over the year, even like 2 years, if you think about it, if you go back.
Remember when you retired?
Yeah, retired from social media. Retired from social media.
It was crazy.
Was that a longer stint than your vegetarianism?
Yeah, well, that was retired for nearly a year.
Yeah,
really?
Was it a year?
No, I want to say 6 months. Nah. It was solid.
When did I start?
I reckon
it's very. Oh, you know what? No. It would have been so because I unarchived a bunch of shit. But it was.
Nah, dude, I reckon it would have been 2 months.
No, I thought
it was like six.
No, so when you got back from overseas, it was November or something, October, November, and we came into this office earlier this year, March.
Geez, time.
And so then that's not, like it feels like it's been this, it feels like 10 years this 1 year, to be honest.
Okay, yeah, this year's been outrageous.
It's a big one.
But the social media stuff, like I've gone back the other way, which is seeing the value in posting stuff.
Yeah.
And so trying to break up, like with all the stuff that we do, it's like so easy to go guest photo, especially on my personal one, right? Yeah. Every time we have a guest on, putting up a photo and it all looks the same.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to like say, okay, if I did a post a day that wasn't that, that could be interesting.
Yeah. How do you find it?
Posting?
Yeah. Like, do you get the anxiety of social
so
media?
So the things, so the things that I posted that I was happy about, they end up doing well and maybe serving. So for instance, on Friday I did the post of Harry.
Yeah.
About work experience, Harry.
Who but you were just leveraging his stardom.
Exactly. I was like, Harry's a good quality guy. I want to be aligned. Yeah, there's a reason why I'm in the photo with him. I want to create an alignment with
Harry. Absolutely, that's fair. Yeah,
but those types. And I also got the new phone. I wanted to use the wide angle.
It's pretty smart. So the anxiety. Run me through.
I struggle. I struggle so much.
You've just taken a photo.
Oh, I struggle so much with the, especially Instagram. I don't know what it is about the just the overthinking or like the fear of judgment when you like. Put a photo up. I still have it so much.
And so it is the judgment of people looking at it?
I think it's the fear of other people's opinions. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Generally call it FOPO.
I can give you an update, guys.
Fear of people's opinions,
It was June 19. Mm-hmm. And so when I got back on, and so the last post I had done was November 1, 2018. So and so it was 6 months.
6 or 7 months, yeah. That's good.
Jeez, effort. That's flown.
Yeah. So it was
that
a bit
did
outrageous.
Fly. And then we were in here.
But yeah,
yeah. So the first post that I did was
studio.
In the studio with the sign.
Did you say you're back in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby's back.
Personal gram after 8 months of retirement.
Fuck. Do you find it? The anxiety of like posting and sharing and do you get it?
I
can't stand it.
But the reason I was saying is it about the people. It's not about the people for me.
Mm.
I don't know. There's a friction point at just like the caption and then just like thinking about what it means to the other stuff I've been posting.
Yeah.
Maybe it's easier if you're a fishing guy and you're just posting photos of your catch. Fucking here's my latest catch.
Yeah. Nothing's my latest. More boring than looking at photos of people holding fish.
He's right.
To be honest,
point, Harry.
There's a lot of Instagram accounts with way more followers than all of us.
Yeah.
That are fishing.
I just
and they're living their best life.
So I had a month where you actually challenged me, Josh, from one of our walks. You challenged me to lean into social media more and do stories and post. And I started doing these little like clips every time we had a podcast episode or every time I wrote a blog. And I got some good feedback. I got some really nice feedback from them, but I just, the like anxiety and the tension I felt of doing it, I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
So the benefit wasn't in that way, the feeling?
Not really. Not for me. And I don't know why. I don't know what the benefit was beyond like a few people would say, those are really cool.
Mm. And but what about all the people that weren't saying anything, but you're in their mind and thinking, but it can be a positive, it can be a negative or positive, right? There can be the story of like, people who aren't saying anything, thinking negative things, or the opposite, which is like there's heaps of people who are seeing it, which then, what is the benefit of more people knowing what you're doing?
Yeah, yeah, it's a great question. I think it's probably one of the flaws that I need to work through, which is the fear of people's opinions and the people-pleasing syndrome, I guess, is what I would refer to it as.
But, I mean, your ball's deep, as Grant Smiley says, into that. Like you're the guy doing the TEDx talk.
Yeah.
You're the guy standing in front of lots of people doing a 100-person.
Yeah, which I don't mind doing that. It's the posting about it afterwards that gives me so much anxiety. And I
his ball's deep, but he won't even kiss. There's a bit of that sort of gear. But, but 97, the social media thing, your relationship with it. You've got at Mr. 97 on Instagram.
When was your last post? Can you pull up
episode 500?
500 before he went away.
Oh, great.
Actually, it was on the plane. It's just before we were taking off, I posted it.
That was a good like carousel of images.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, I like doing-
You caught up on a year's worth of posts in one post.
Batching. It's great. You just get a bunch of photos. So for the LA one, I'll just do one post and it'll have like 10 photos.
The entire trip.
Yeah.
You will or you did?
No, I will.
So what year? 2020 or 2019?
No, it was in my little book to do.
So how are you? So you've got a book. You're talking about your little book. Describe what is it?
Well, it's literally just a checklist of stuff that I write down in the morning to get whatever I'm thinking about out of my head, and then on the other side, on the left side of it's just like a gratitude journal, and then potentially the question of the day, which is either suggested by Josh or Tommy or just a question or something that I've been thinking about.
I haven't
about.
Had one in there.
Nice.
I haven't been told that I've given you a question of the day.
He was trying to spread the... But no,
I give the question of the day.
Does this rely on someone texting it through to you? Is that what happens?
No, it's usually just one-on-one. Because I do the one-on-ones with 97s, I will say, if there is something like, have you got a question of the day? If he doesn't, I'll say maybe it could be.
Oh, yeah.
So one of them could be, say, for instance, we're looking at business models and all that sort of thing. So it could be who within your network would be interested in what we do.
Mm.
And then he can riff on that and then, you know, find answers.
Nice.
Can you give him one, Pete? Because I can't think of one for
him. Yeah, I'm just trying to think.
What's for lunch?
What's for lunch?
Yeah. For tomorrow.
There's a great question by a guy called Jerry Colonna, which haunts me, actually.
Who's Jerry Colonna?
So he's a famous, well, not famous. He's an executive coach in New York. He coaches like.
Colleague or friend or?
Friend of Seth. So I'll call him a friend. Yeah, yeah. Great. He's the CEO. He coaches a bunch of executive CEOs in New York, including like the CEO of Gimlet and the CEO of Shopify, I think, these kind of people. Anyway, he asked this question, which takes a while to get your head around, which is, how are you complicit in creating the conditions you say you don't want?
Say it again.
How are you complicit in creating the conditions you say you don't want?
So creating the stuff that I don't want.
So the stuff that we complain about, like, oh, I hate the fact that I'm not earning enough money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, but how are you complicit?
What's your hand in actually the creation of that?
Like you're creating that.
Well, it's radical ownership, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the idea. So it's own your shit.
Own your situation.
Figure out a way to get away from it. But that question, I think, is because it's really easy to point the finger elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like,
well, we blame Mondays.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just about.
Yeah, yeah. It's just Monday.
For December, we just did it all week. It's a bit of a celebration for the sort of new year and stuff.
Yeah. So there's a question to noodle on.
That's a great question. Yeah. I love it.
Thanks, mate.
How are you finding the blogging every week?
I love it. Still love it. Yeah, the practice of sitting down on a Sunday afternoon with no idea what I'm going to say. And then you sit there for an hour or so and then you come up with something and you go, oh, well, I'll ship that. Even if, and 95% of the time, I think that's crap, but that's all right.
Have you thought about doing it daily?
I have. Yeah, it's definitely crossed my mind, but I'd write once a day in my journal, but it doesn't feel like the sort of writing that's worth putting out into the wild.
Do you take stuff from the journal and put it into the blog?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I'll look back at the week of journaling and go, oh, actually, that's interesting. I might write about that.
Mm-hmm.
But other times it's just like, you know, garbage or gibberish or like real deep dark thoughts.
The hard thing, like the social media bit, the blogging every day, the doing the podcast every day, if you were to put it on a piece of paper and if you knew that one of these things would get you further towards where you want to go or whatever it is.
Mm. 90 cents per year, I needed to burp and I just burped off camera. That's what I was doing. He was laughing at it. I was completely serious. I wasn't being funny then, but he was laughing. Sorry.
Do you think you'd still do it even if you knew? Like you think about, okay, you daily blog for the next year and it will make you as big as Seth Godin or something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. You think you would do it?
No, I'm saying, would you do it even if you know? So the thing is, we don't know. That's the one thing we all fucking know.
Yeah.
But even if you did know, do you think it would be enough to commit to it and actually do it successfully?
So
I'm just trying to understand because there is no surety in any of the stuff we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even if we did know, would you even stick at doing it?
Yeah. That's a really interesting question. I think that's why we should do things that you enjoy the process for, because we can't control the outcome.
Mm.
I would imagine if there was an outcome that I really wanted, I think I'd be pretty good at sticking to something to get that outcome. But I'm trying to do the opposite, which is like, unattached from the outcome and enjoy the process.
Well, I like to think that I would, if I knew that putting out a video a day wouldn't be the thing, I'd like to think I could do it. But I also think that maybe.
But if it is, like it would be the thing.
But you're kind of doing that.
So, let's say something else, like writing a blog a day would make me the other thing. I still think it would fuck with me too much.
Mm.
But so, that fucking with you is friction, which is progress.
Mm. Yeah, but there's friction in shitloads of things that people need to do that probably would get them closer, but they don't do it because of the
friction. But so is the fear that it's the wrong friction? So for instance,
yeah, but it's like saying, it's like him, Pete saying, find the thing that you love doing that you can be in the process. So you love the process.
Even when there's friction.
Yeah. So there is friction. There's things you love that have friction, which is like editing and stuff for me. It's not easy. Yeah. There's a lot of friction there.
Mm.
Problem solving.
But what about, I guess, the thing around working on things that you're not good at.
Yeah. So I was thinking this recently, doubling down, you know, how they say double down on the things you're good at. Yeah. Strengths. At what point do you not do that? Because I think I've doubled down on the thing that I'm, that is of less friction, which is not scripting things, being more in the moment, ad lib. So it serves you to a point, right? Yeah. You become the ad lib guy.
Yeah.
Or you become the person that doesn't need to really have a script. You have a few dot points and fucking riff.
That's me, yeah.
But then when should you lean into the written out, very articulate, and you can ship it as written, or you could say it as the speech, or you could, you know, like when do you sort of lean into that? When do you know?
Yeah, I don't know if you do. I think that's a practice, right? Because I'm like you. I like ad lib. Mm. I like to show up and not necessarily have a set structure on what I'm going to talk about. I might have some ideas and I'll riff about them. But sometimes, I mean, the TED Talk was a great example. It requires you to essentially have a script, and they like coach you and they make you send them the script of your talk, which is the opposite of how I've done most of my talks. So I actually talked it and then sent it through a transcript software. That was how I wrote the script, as opposed to typing it like an essay and then reading it, which I think is what most people do. But yeah, I don't know. I don't actually know the answer to that. When do you like lean into your blind spots or double down on your blind spots as opposed to doubling down on your strengths? I don't know.
TJ, you talk about writing. You want to do more writing. You want to become a better writer.
Well, I actually think it's because it all comes back to exactly what I was saying. I see it as a weakness.
Ah.
And so it's not a strength. It's a high friction thing for me cognitively. The other thing is not so much, but then I question the double down on your strengths, because it's like at some point there is something that needs to be a part. So you need an element of that. And so if you can get small amounts of that, it doesn't mean I want to write a fucking book or blog every day, but it's like there's bits. And so I don't know. And the syndicate, then maybe it is just going to be a friction always that does create some visceral response to me when I sit down to write.
Yeah, I guess there's got to be some intention behind it too, right? Like the idea of what's it for. So it's like, I want to improve my writing so that what? Like if there's just so that I'm a better writer, maybe there's not enough actual like reason to do it. But if it's so that all of the work that we do moving forward is even better, or so that the business gets better because I'm writing better business proposals, I feel like the intention behind that would make you do it or encourage you to do it more than just because I feel like it's a weakness. I want to get better at it. I feel like there's got to be some intention as to why you're working on that.
Is there some universality in the writing bit, which is actually writing is thinking as well?
Yeah, I agree.
And so writing isn't necessarily like some of the other things like hard skills.
Yeah.
It's actually a way of processing and all that sort of thing, which is the bigger piece in the whole thing.
I think writing is thinking and processing for sure. Mm. In the same way that you've been talking a bit about going to see like a psychologist to talk out loud about things.
Mm.
I think writing for me has a similar impact.
Is that in your morning pages?
Yeah. Yeah.
So in that's the one where page that out.
I write a morning. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so what about the distinction between that just being sort of, you know, flow?
Stream of consciousness.
Stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
Versus making it sensical.
Yeah. So if you write, I guess part of it is if you write an email for a client, you've had to do the work and the thinking to synthesize and to communicate. Mm. And so then it ticks the communicating, the thinking. That's where I think the power of writing is. Mm. Like it is in the transfer of information rather than the specifics of where a comma goes.
Oh, that's not even what I've given up on, all that shit. You know that. I don't give a fuck about that. That doesn't mean anything.
And so what is it then in the writing? So it's not the grammar or punctuation.
I think there's a real intention to an email. What's the information that I need to get across to this person? Mm. What have they said to me? So what's the stimulus? What's the questions they've asked me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then just formulating that.
And for me, that's the stream of consciousness is different. You're right. To the blog on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And so the intention behind that is not just stream of consciousness. It's like, can I put forward an idea worth noodling on, worth thinking about?
Exactly. Yeah. Because I can go hard on that stream.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes I'm rabbit. Fuck, what's that outside?
Exactly.
Is that birdie?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you can do it. But then when it's trying to formulate it to be sensical and flow, and so it's a hard one.
Yeah, and I just think it's a practice. Like I think that's why I do it every Sunday, because I think every time you do it, you get a little bit better at it.
Is there something that doesn't come natural to you that you've identified that you sort of push to the side? Like
plenty. I think planning is probably one of the main ones. I feel like we might have spoken about this on one of my 9 appearances, but the ability.
Yeah, how many minutes?
The ability we'll to plan there. Ahead.
9.6 hours.
9.6 hours. Mm.
That's just got to get to 10. Spotify score for
there you go. 9.6. So I think my ability to plan ahead has always been a bit of a weakness. I've could frame it as a strength because I'm like, I'm always in the moment and I'm able to be ad lib. But there are definitely moments in time where I've been like, I really should have planned ahead for this moment. I wish I had been able to do that. And the people around me, I think that's who it impacts the most.
That's why you push back on planners so much.
Yeah, exactly.
We're thinking about turning Sundays from a normal weekend banter. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why we're thinking this, Harry was saying that he was doing his HSC. He was struggling to keep up. He was getting FOMO. And so you fall off the wagon in regards to listening to the show. A bunch of people who were listening or watching through Matt Diavella's feature that he did on us were saying it would be great to have specific bits, which is highlights that I can watch that's not going to require the 10 hours a week or whatever.
So like a Sunday recap.
Exactly. Mm. And so we were thinking the Sunday catch up where it's the best of goes for around 40 minutes of that type of content with a 10-minute bit.
And when we say catch up, it's from the week. Six full shows finding great bits.
So you distill each one to like 5 or 10 minutes.
Well, no. So we're even trying to work that out. So do you need to represent every show in the catch-up? Not necessarily.
A highlight. If there's a highlight and it's a great bit that adds to the story or the narrative for the week.
Yeah.
Or it's a great guest. Like this week's been huge. Yeah. Michael Bungastania.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah.
Lady Brains. Mm-hmm. Who else have we had?
Jem,
Harry. There's so much been going
big
on.
Week, yeah.
And then Pete. And so,
I guess the question becomes, so like user experience, I start thinking about that. And so if we put it within the feed, because one of the listeners said, will it be a separate feed? Mm. I hate the idea of having two fucking feeds.
You don't want a feed.
Too much time.
I think in front of the number, you just write recap in brackets or something.
So this is another thing. I'm obsessed with the numbers.
How annoying is the Apple Podcast thing?
Yeah, very annoying. But the question around, do we think a recap, the catch up episode.
Does it count as a number?
Does it count as a number?
I think so. Yeah. Especially if you're doing a unique bit at the start.
Yep.
Because it will have a unique bit at the start.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it still counts.
Because you have your signpost at the start. Mm-hmm. You can say your number there.
And so we would say like it's a daily talk show for catch up for your Sunday. TJ, what was your favorite bit of the week?
Yeah.
And then you'll be like.
It's Pete's legs under the table. You did see them? Yeah. They were there.
And I really.
What,
fucked Josh? You up because I didn't wear my shirt. I normally wear shorts every single
you're
day.
You're looking so formal in pants.
What's going on? It would have been skin on skin.
No, it would have been perfect. So what are we, any feedback or thoughts or what are some questions that we could ask to get some more clarity around this?
I like it, firstly. Mm-hmm. I think the what's it for feels clear, which is to help people catch up on your show and maybe you get all of a sudden new listeners that only listen on a Sunday, which is fine.
The catch-up crew.
Yeah. Catch-up crew. It's like church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you might have the Gronk squad and then you might have the catch-up crew.
Yeah.
Slightly different audience.
And the other interesting thing about the catch-up crew is that someone might listen to the Sunday catch-up.
And then go back.
And then they'll be like, fuck, I loved the episode with Pete. I'm actually going to listen. So it actually becomes an onboarding from last week's bits of content.
Yeah. You want to deep dive with Pete, go back to episode.
Yeah. And so you could lead with if people that are new, you could say, hey, just check out one of the recap episodes. Mm-hmm. And then if you like it, pick and choose. It's like a menu. You can pick and choose from there.
It's a really great way to finish off the week.
So the profits that come from the catch-up show, do I get 10 or 20%?
You can get 100% for the next week.
Have you been listening to the show, Harry? There's a lot of talk about monetization.
He's too busy using the company card. How much did you spend on Fat Fridays?
$25 or something.
Oh, you said it was 10.
Yeah.
I didn't get us a receipt.
And I didn't get a receipt.
Come on, Harry.
It's disappointing to say the least. Podcasting in 2020 for you, what's been the learnings from 2019? Is it a full, have you done more than a year now?
Yeah, 62, I think. So just over a year. Mm-hmm. So
62 episodes, one a week.
Every week.
62 weeks.
62 weeks. So learnings have been, this year in particular, we fell out of the habit of having a can, so like 10 in the backlog, so that we could just pick and choose. And we got into the unhelpful habit, which is like, we better record an episode for this week and doing that, which meant we weren't able to focus on other stuff that we want to do and build together. So we're recalibrating on that. The other thing we love doing was episodes in person, shocker, which is when you're in the same room. When I'm in New York, we can actually try and record like 10 to 15, a bit like what you guys do when you're in LA. Yeah. So we're going to try and do that next year when I'm in.
What about guests?
When I'm in New York. We have been talking about that. Mm-hmm. We've got a few pretty cool potential guests lined up. And we might do like, we were thinking maybe once a quarter or once every couple of months, just throwing in a guest episode.
Fuck, this is contentious. Will Seth Godin do it? under 100 because that's his rule.
No, he's definitely. I think he'll be fine.
I mean, he seems like a guy that sticks to his rule. Yeah. Sticks to his rule. So yeah. You know him better than I do.
Oh, I could send him a message and we'll find out.
Thanks.
He does the Gronk. Yeah, just mention that you've been on the Daily Talk Show.
Those two weirdos are using
you guys as leverage. Yeah,
exactly. Harry, this is officially your final episode.
Yes. It's a goodbye.
For the work experience. Thank you for everything.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We've had so much fun. Any highlights? I know I've asked you throughout the week and you've sort of failed fast. have you got anything? Dig deep.
Yeah. Dig deep.
You got this, Harry.
I think Michael's episode was a big eye-opener.
Mm-hmm. You did great, by the way. That was really good.
Yeah. Well, now I've got a bloody post once a week, yeah. So now I've got that stress on my.
And you're gaining followers?
Slowly.
Have we come up with a nickname?
A nickname? No.
Well, he messaged me last night. I love the message because he's like, Hi, boss. he knows how to. I said to 97, will you start calling me boss?
Yeah, you would really.
He said,
like
absolutely not. I said, maybe I get Tommy to start calling me boss. But he said, hi, boss. And then he signed off Teenage Gronk.
Teenage Gronk. Not bad.
Well, I thought there's Queen Gronk, Cool Gronk, teen King Gronk. So
teenage just Gronk.
There's actually
teen
no
Gronk. Teen Gronk. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's shorter.
Which will be awkward when you turn 20, but that's okay.
Yeah, you're done.
For the next little bit, it'll be good.
Yeah.
I like work experience, Harry.
Yeah, work experience.
It's pretty long, though. What about intern, Harry?
Now, intern's too. Oh, Dill was intern.
Yeah, he was too.
Because he was, you know, from North America.
3D
you know,
Dill.
3D Dill, yeah, he was. Yeah,
he got there.
Work experience, Harry's not bad. It's just a bit long.
Anything else that we could call you?
Flory.
Yeah, that was a recommendation, but I don't like that.
Yeah, well, look, to be honest,
I don't get it at all.
Flory, floor manager. Floor manager Harry.
Who said that? Who was
someone in the?
It was in our DM.
Floor manager Harry's not bad.
I really liked it. Floor manager.
Mate,
Harry.
He said work experience Harry's too long. Floor manager Harry. I mean, same.
Floor manager work experience Harry.
Yeah.
What about Haz?
I just like Harry.
You just like Harry. Yeah. I mean,
but that's not. We've been through this. That's not what it's about.
We need a character.
Yeah, we need to really sort of. Happy Harry.
Off cam Harry.
I like Happy Harry.
Happy Harry. Harry. He's a pretty happy guy.
Are you happy? Like,
yeah, I'm happy.
You're a pretty happy guy.
Out of a week, 7 days.
How many are you happy?
Six.
That's pretty good.
That's about as many episodes.
And which day is the bad day?
The Sunday. Sundays. I hate Sundays.
Really? It's a strong word, hate, Harry.
What do you hate about
Sundays? And that's why I used it.
Okay.
Cut through.
Why do you hate it?
What about hating Harry?
Hateful Harry.
Just for Sundays. Now, what do you hate about Sundays?
I think it's just being the end of the week. I think
how many times is he pushing this end of the week bullshit?
Like it's just been such a good week, and then I've got to start again. Go back to the start. Start all over again.
What if you didn't look at it like
that? Could you reframe that, Harry?
Yeah. Could you reframe it?
What do you mean?
Clearly not.
So come across and say Saturday's the last day of the week.
No. Reframe the fact that instead of the end of the week being a bad thing, what if it was a great thing? What if it was like tying the bow on a great week and then you get to move on and do something fresh?
What if you get to build on each week? So last week was a great week and so this week's going to be even better. So you just keep building each week.
Just level up every week.
Mm.
How do you feel about that, Harry?
Yeah, but then when I'm like 80 years old, I can't improve my week by week very well.
Absolutely you can. You can always improve. Just read an extra book.
Or listen.
Gain a bit of knowledge. Or listen.
Or listen.
I like Happy Harry.
Happy Harry.
Harry makes us happy.
Yeah.
Is Happy Harry available Harry on happy Instagram?
Happy. Yeah. Happy.
Feels like a tough one.
I'll be happy to swap.
I'll see if the .com's available.
Can we get that?
Happy Harry. I'm sure it's taken.
I can't afford another domain.
Either can we. Maybe our friends at Venture IP can help us out.
Happy Harry.
Where do I want to go?
Nah, Happy Harry's renovate. Damn it. Appreciate some laminate
on
flooring.
On Instagram?
Laminate or flooring. The website.
What about Instagram? Oh, Happy Has?
Nah, Happy Harry is Happy Gordon on Instagram.
Oh.
We'll send him a message.
Yeah,
sure. Happy Hazza? Happy Has?
No, I don't like
I mean, he doesn't have to have it. Doesn't have to take
the thehappyharry.com.
Well, oh, thehappyharry.com.
Gladharry.com.
Nah, no. Thehappyhappyharry.
Happyharry.io.
I'll just put it in my bio. Happy Harry.
Funnyharry.com.
No.
Can you do Happy Harry dash the Daily Talk Show?
Happyharry.me.
That's good.
Okay.
We're getting in his bio.
What about like happy.harry on Instagram? Surely that'll be
Golden good. Harry. happyharry.farm.
This is solid content, I'm sure.
What about that?
Happyharry.farm.
I don't want to brand myself alongside the farm.
Why not?
Because he's trying to...
I'm trying to get away from it.
He needs happyharry.melbourne.
What about happyharry.me is pretty solid.
Happyharry.today is available.
Is there .lodge?
No. Happyharry.solutions. Happyharry.zone. There's heaps.
Because Phil and I always talk about all the domain extensions that you can get. I wonder if there's a .lodge.
Yeah. Happyharry.menu. Yeah.
Happyharry.singles was available.
Yeah. So, I mean, the issue is, so are we? Do we need all the domain names if we're going to go with the nickname?
No. Instagram first. You want the Instagram.
Okay. I'll do that.
Let's do it.
So, what's the name? The Happy Harry.
Or what about Helpful Harry?
Helpful Harry.
No. That's too airy fairy.
Yeah. He wants to be happy.
I want to be happy.
Happy Harry, except on Sundays.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that. It's a quirk. You're a quirk, dude. Yeah.
That's your description.
Can we get Angry Harry as a character on Sundays? Yeah. Who phones in?
Unhappy Harry.
On the catch up, you're tuning in.
Yeah. Can we do like a little bit now? Where
G'day. It's Harry. It's bloody Sunday. It's bloody annoying.
We talk to Angry Harry for a moment. Can we interview him?
Satellite?
This is Sunday.
Via satellite.
This is coming out.
It's Sunday.
So come in.
It's the Daily Talk Show, and it's... the catch up.
You know what gives me the shits?
What? Oh, it's Angry Harry. What's up?
Is when you go to the supermarket and you're queuing, and then they open up the next register, and the person behind you goes to the next register. Shouldn't the person closest, who's been waiting the longest, go to the next register?
Yeah, Harry.
And then you feel like you've got to say something, but then you can't.
Why?
Well, because then they'll throw a punch or something. Like,
not everyone's angry though, Harry.
Oh, well, you never know. It's like on a Sunday, everyone's angry. Everyone's angry
on a Sunday. Very good. It's kind of been a Husey loses it sort of.
It does, yeah.
I like it. Angry Harry.
A little bit
Sundays.
Of what grinds my gears.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, great. Well,
or we could just stay with Happy Harry, so it's just like. Isn't he meant to be happy?
Yeah, that's ironic.
Some of us have
an ironic nickname.
Yeah. Could we do a little, could you be in our catch up things? Maybe that's where we, maybe, hang on, this is a great little bit. Catch up every single Sunday. We catch up with one other person. So, fuck, this is great. 3D Dill, Happy Harry. We, on the Sunday, they join us for the intro. And we can
we may as well just do another show.
No. So it's 10 minutes.
It's just as much work.
No, it's 10 minutes. It's not about doing less work. It's about actually doing it for the audience. I think there's something in, say, if we had 3D Dill, we could be like, hey, mate, did you catch up with anything from the week? He could say, I loved these bits. We could actually say to the person. Catch up.
So you get a viewer's perspective on the
exactly.
week.
Exactly. Yep. And so we could... We could actually get a person to take some of the pressure off you. Notice it. Was that you burping, Harry?
Sorry.
Happy Harry.
Happy Harry just burped.
97, we could even, it's almost like, what was the music show, but Rage?
Yeah, so you have still the, here's another idea. You could get a like a voicemail. People could leave giving like a, hey guys, I love this bit. It helped me a lot.
Like Akimbo. You record a little question or a little
I don't want to be seen to be copying Akimbo, but yeah.
A few podcasts do it.
Yeah, so it's like a voicemail. That's so, good. Yeah, but then we can have the characters on.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, we could do, yeah, Happy Harry joins us for catch up and then we tell you a week in advance, Harry, and so you find a few of your favourite bits.
Yeah, what time is it, Harry?
Yeah, we've got to go.
It's
1:50.
10 to 2. You've got a meeting.
Sam's looks a bit worried.
Harry.
That's good.
Happy Harry. Thank you for being here for the week, man.
Pete Shepherd, thank you. We love you in your white T-shirt.
Thanks for having me.
Very excited.
You like that?
It looks great.
Just wanted really, to throw
the shorts are great too.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm going to give him a compliment. You smell good. What's that? What's that cologne you're wearing?
Actually, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's the one that's BLVGRI.
Oh, Bulgari.
Yeah, that one. Thank you.
What do you know about Bulgari?
Nah, because nice branded.
You know where I got that?
Where did you get it?
When I was flying in business class on an Emirates flight, they give you like a.
Oh, really?
And I was like, this stuff is amazing. Yeah. Oh, so I bought some.
Yeah. I gave them, I got a candle when I was on Singapore first. They gave it to my Airbnb.
Light it on the plane?
Casey Neistat. Surely you can't do that, can you? No flames.
No way.
No open flames on a plane.
No drones, no flames.
You're allowed a baby horse, though. Miniature horse. Up to 45 kg. That's a support
animal. That's a solid little fucking horse.
Yeah. That's like that Shetland pony we saw the other day.
Yeah. All right. It's a Daily Talk Show. See you tomorrow, guys.
See you guys.
See you guys.